Hey guys, it's Chris. Welcome back to K97.5. And this week we have some classic hip hop for you. Some classic 80s hip hop. Easy E, Easy Does It. Side to side. Then I let the Alpine play. Bumping new shit by NWA. It was gangster at the top of the list. Then I played my old shit. It went something like this. Cruising down the street. Hey guys, it's Chris. I'm back with James from Daily News of Sports Trivia, and we're back with another Game of Thrones Season 7 predictions / Q&A. Before we get started, I want to bring in my cousin Eric and show you something really, really cool. All right, so I got my cousin Eric here with me, and we are a family of artists, so I wanted to bring him in here today to show you something very, very cool. I think he's got a little something to offer you.
Yep.
So he don't watch a lot of Game of Thrones, or he pretends not to. He pretends not to. I know
enough of what's going on to get me in trouble.
Yeah, because I know you did, because I've seen some details in what we're about to show you guys. So let me show you guys a couple of things. So first of all, we have a Tyrion here, and I'll put the actual digital ones up on the screen here in editing. If you see this Tyrion caricature.
I'm a caricature artist, by the way.
Yeah, this is Eric's specialty, caricature artist. We have Tyrion here. We have Jon and Dany separately, and we also have all three of them together there. And I know he watches some Game of Thrones, because in the Jon Snow solo got Ghost there with the little arm. So he knew to draw that arm and hand in there. So I know he's been sneaking and watching this shit.
I'm a closet fan.
So anyway, I wanted to share this with you guys, because like I said, we're a family of artists, and I was more of the realist kind of guy, and Eric was more of the caricature stylist, and he made a career of it. We actually started a business together, what,
25 years ago.
God.
25 years ago, when we were young and knew everything.
He's still doing it, and this is what he does for a living. So I think you've got something special for Smokescreen subscribers.
Yes, I do.
So let us know what you've got going on.
So I'm going to have four different prints. I've got the three individuals, and then I've got the one with all of them together. And I'm going to do a limited edition prints.
We'll put the website up I'll put it up on the screen editing, and I'll put the link in the description below. So I believe it's meltonart.com/smokescreen.
That's it. And you can go there and order one of these prints. And also, if you want to be a character, if you want to put your face on one of these characters, you know, instead of having, you know, Jon Snow have your face in there, I can do that, and I'm offering a special price for Smokescreen subscribers. And also, if you want to be drawn as any character, I do those as well. But you go to the website, I've got all the pricing there, and you can just contact me, and I'll make it happen for you.
That will be in the link in the description below. Check out meltonart.com/smokescreen, and he'll give you guys a special deal. So check it out.
This is a question from, bear with me, Ninky Buma?
Yes, Ninky.
Do you think Gendry might become the new Lord of Storm's End once Daenerys starts setting up her kingdom?
Yeah, I do. I think that's exactly the reason why that we will see Gendry kind of, I don't know if you want to call it, rescued.
Right, that scene.
From King's Landing, right. So, you know, Davos knows all about Gendry, obviously, and his bloodline, who he is. And that's going to be very helpful to Dany, because she needs those political alliances.
Absolutely.
So he's going to, he knows who his father is now. So he feels like he's owed something, probably.
So that's owed a lot, actually.
I mean,
becoming Lord of Storm's End, you know. I know you've said it before. I can see it happening.
Yeah, I think that's important to her to establish with all these major houses. And now, a little bit different in the books. You do have another bastard of Robert, Edric Storm, in the books.
You so told me about him.
That could potentially be a little different there. But for the show, I mean, I think Gendry will be the next, legitimized by Dany, the self-proclaimed queen. Now, whether other people will accept that or not, it's a different story, but I'm sure they will with three damn dragons.
I was getting ready to say the dragons. That won't be hard once they see the dragons.
Exactly.
But he's a cool guy anyway.
He is.
He's had a rough run. I would like to see that.
Yeah, and I want to see a Gendry-Arya reunion.
Yeah, I've been waiting to see that too.
Because he said, I'm not sure, maybe too cliche, but he did say, "You would be my lady."
He did.
You know, so, you know, it could be the...
And I wanted her to be
the whole Arya, you know, will Arya and Gendry marry or fall in love? Or is she that type? Because she don't want to be a lady. She told Ned that too.
Man, it just had me have so many thoughts of something.
Yeah, there's a lot of directions.
Next question, another patron. This is from Richard Martin.
Appreciate it, Richard.
It says, "Chris, another nagging question from me." Viserys and Dany.
Aren't they all?
This is Viserys Targaryen and Daenerys Stormborn. This sort of insinuates that Dany wasn't born at Dragonstone and not Targaryen. Speculation going around that she may have been born at Starfall. She was sent to Dragonstone and is the bastard child of Ned Stark and Ashara Dane. The house with the red door and a lemon tree outside a window. Ned made the statement to Varys that he dishonored his name and dishonored Kat. If not Jon Snow, then who?
Yeah, I think it's pretty well established where Dany was born. The problem is with all these theories about Starfall, Ashara Dane, and all that, there's definitely something to it. I will say that I do think Ned and Ashara were in love.
Okay.
Before he had to be, he was basically forced to marry Catelyn when Brandon died.
Yep.
So I do think that's there for sure. But I don't think that Dany's that, you know, the offspring of some relationship, or John for that matter, because I know that's still coming up some.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense thematically for John not to be in the Tower of Joy, Ice and Fire, the whole thing. But I'm going to do a video. I've been looking into this for the last couple of weeks a little more, because this is something I was interested in way back when I started, you know, Game of Thrones stuff on YouTube.
Right.
Is this damn lemon tree.
I know.
Because we are reminded throughout the books, I can think of an Arya chapter right now specifically about lemons being tied to Dorne.
Okay.
I mean, there's something about, you know, Dany remembers this lemon tree and, you know, out front of this, you know, big house with the red door.
Yes.
That she thinks is in Braavos. She says it's in Braavos. And so something is different about her past for sure. I have no doubt about that. Something didn't go down exactly the way she remembers it. But the problem is, with all these theories about, you know, she could have spent time in Dorne,
right,
she could have been a Starfall, you know, all the various theories about Dany is Viserys. Because Viserys was old enough at that time not to, you know, he has to be lying to her, in other words. But he's telling her all the stories and what happened when she, before she could remember, you know, before she started maintaining memories. So the problem is he's got to be lying if her backstory is different from what we think.
And does it not make you try to start eliminating regions where lemon trees might not grow?
Yeah,
and
and it's basically anywhere in any kind of northern climate can't support it unless they're in perhaps a greenhouse. And they do have greenhouses.
I'll be damned.
Winterfell in the show doesn't show them, but they mention their greenhouses there. Perhaps at the Sea Lord's Palace in Braavos. That's the most basic explanation for the lemon tree.
Okay.
Is that when she grew up in Braavos, she remembers the house with the red door and a lemon tree out front, but she could be remembering the Sea Lord's, you know, palace. But that's a palace. It's not a house.
Yeah, a kid would.
But she, yeah, and running through the grass barefoot. Yeah. Running, that's a big thing, too. That's
there
not.
You go.
It's not going to happen in Braavos.
No.
Unless it's in some kind of big, you know, terrarium or greenhouse type setting where there could be grass and tropical trees and plants. That's the most basic explanation, and some people believe it's as simple as that.
Okay.
I'm not so sure. I think there was something else going on with her past, but I also think that's part of a little red herring to throw us off RLJ as well.
Would you help explain this last sentence? Basically, the second to last sentence said Ned made the statement to Varys that he dishonored his name and dishonored Kat. What does that have to do with any of this?
I think he's alluding there to dishonored as in, you know, had an affair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
To cover his tracks. He I do think that he was in love with Ashara Dane,
but that was
before Catelyn.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he does swear he dishonored her in front of gods and men.
I'll be damned. Okay, that makes sense.
Right. It all ties again to RLJ. And I did a video that really put me on the map on YouTube, the whole RLD thing, you know, how I don't think it's possible based off timelines. They're very sloppy. And honestly, George R. R. Martin has made mistakes, which he's admitted, because he couldn't keep up when this thing grew so huge.
I could see that easily.
You know, and so he started getting help with that with Elio and Linda from Westeros.org and stuff like that. So
very cool.
Yeah, there's definitely something going on there, though. And I'm going to kind of, I've been digging into this a little bit and I don't know. It's work now. It's work.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of digging in to see if I can find anything about clues as to her past, because I do think it is established she was born on Dragonstone during this storm. Her mother died during childbirth, which is a common thing with Jon and Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
But and the name Stormborn is just not given upon somebody who wasn't actually there. So I think she was born there, but the question is, you know, before she was 5, 6, 7 and shipped off to Essos, whatever it was, did she spend some time in Dorne? It has something to do with Dorne Martell and the Martell storyline, which is the whole thing in the books they cut out in the show because they just killed everybody. So it may be tied in with Dorne's master plan if you believe there is a big Martell master plan for a Targaryen restoration.
What do you think?
I think it's possible. I think there's sense for it and there's stuff against it. You know, is Dorne Martell this big mastermind that's got all this going on? That's a lot's got to be just, you know, fit just right and happen just right for all this to go down, or is he just full of shit?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Honestly. So, and it makes me worry about it as far as the books go because they killed him off in the show so quick and easy.
I see us coming back to this lemon tree thing before this is over.
We will.
Yeah,
we will.
I see it. Okay, next question is from a patron named Richard Clark.
Thank you, Richard.
Q&A. Do you think Daenerys will survive till the end sitting on the Iron Throne? Personally, the show has made her out to be untouchable, and I think her death would flip wigs across the globe.
That's true. Yes and no. Yes and no. I don't think there's going to be an Iron Throne. I don't think it's going to be that clean where there's a winner to this game. The winner is going to be humanity if it decides to change.
Right.
I could see, and this goes back again to Dragon Part 4, you know, I had two kind of versions there, two possible endings. Not that there's not other possible, but my possible endings just for with two books to go. But one of those is Dany dying. And being, you know, either, it goes back to the symmetry thing. We've spoke about it several times.
Yes.
Does the world end with ice and fire and magic still there?
Mm-hmm.
Or does it end with Jon Snow being both and there's no ice and fire? You know, I think it's just, to me, it's got to end that way. So if the Night King goes, Dany's got to go. Or now maybe they go together.
Which some people have alluded to.
Right. And that's very possible. Yeah. So I can see it going both ways. So
no way do you see...
I do think
the Night King sitting on the Iron Throne and winner everywhere. No,
yeah,
they win and it's over.
It would be a tragedy. It would be a classic tragedy. But no, there's not going to be an Iron Throne. And I predicted this last video. This is my personal prediction.
Yes,
I think Dany has the Iron Throne actually melted down.
Yes,
literally gone. Because this is a repeat of Aegon's conquest, who had the throne created by his fallen enemies, and now she's going to basically destroy the symbol of what caused
and
all this chaos.
She likes doing that. She likes to do that. Yes, make statements.
Make statements.
Yes. So yes. I could see that too.
She's going to leave the world a better place than her father did, and she's going to destroy. She's going to melt down the very symbol of the thing that's caused all the chaos and destruction in Westeros.
So many people have died.
Over that damn chair.
That damn chair.
Yeah. You know, so I can see that happening. I don't think it's a Valyrian steel thing or anything like that. I just think that the symbol itself will be actually melted down.
Cool. Good question. Next question comes from CMAB. CMAB says, Q&A. In Season 1, Episode 1, Robert says to Ned, before I finish reading this, I know with all your foreshadowing stuff, you're sharp on Season 1, Episode 1
right now. Season 1, I'm pretty good right now.
You are good.
I should do Trial by Trivia again.
I know.
Right now, if we just do Season 1, it'd be fine.
So it says, in Season 1, Episode 1, Robert says to Ned, I have a son, you have a daughter, we'll join our houses. You think this will come true in Season 7 or 8 with Arya and Gendry?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
We just talked about it, and that's cool.
And I think that's one of the things right there. That specific line is what makes me think that's a possibility. But again, Arya, her storyline. She said also to kind of counter that, I don't want to be a lady. I don't want to rule a holdfast.
Absolutely.
So it kind of depends on her storyline. You know, if she figures out what's important, and is it more important to be a faceless assassin and get revenge and keep killing, or do the best thing for your family if you have a chance to and have a little dream of spring. You know what I'm saying? So
I could see it,
and I also could not see it.
Good way to put it.
So, yes.
All right.
And
if it doesn't happen, is Gendry heartbroken?
If they meet, you mean? If they run into each other again?
And it doesn't work out, is he heartbroken or is...
I could see that too. I mean, because they meet again, she's going to be a lot older. You know, it depends on how he feels about her.
I don't think she's capable of having her heart broken. She's gotten cold.
That's true right now, know? Right. I agree.
It might even be hard to touch her heart with love or anything right now.
And that may be part of her tragic story.
It could be.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I could see Gendry, though, like we talked about before, like Gendry, the Hound, people that she actually, you know, cares about. She does care. But, yeah, you're right. I think Gendry could be, like we talked about before, kind of start putting a little dent in that armor.
I hope so.
You know what I mean? So I think that's where that comes in, at least that, if not a full-fledged love story.
Very interesting. All right, next question from this is from another patron named Taylor.
Thank you, Taylor.
Taylor says, I know I shouldn't even ask this. That sounds like me, Taylor. I know I shouldn't even ask this, but it's the only burning question I've got. Care to speculate of when Winds of Winter published date might be, Chris?
I would guess at this point, Christmas of this year or maybe early 2018.
Time.
Yeah, because, and the reason I say that is because this new Fire and Blood novella coming out, I believe in September, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments. But so I think that maybe coincide a little bit. So that may come out first and then Winds of Winter, because that's already got a date and everything.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So, I'm you know, it was supposed to be done last year before Christmas. And then he put it off, you know, on his little not a blog thing. So I'm guessing right now, by the way, he's still working on it, but I think it's a lot of little rewrites and touch ups and things like that. So I think it's basically done, from my opinion. But it's got to be finalized, and then of course it takes about 5 to 6 months to print once he sends the final draft.
Well, you are very much into the books, and you're very much into the show. Which do you care about? Are you more interested in what this next book has to say? Because like you've told me a million times, John's still dead in the books, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're way beyond the books.
I know.
I mean, certain characters are not. And they did circle back around and do some stuff.
People are dying for this damn
book. Yeah, I mean, it's been, what, 6 years now since Dance with Dragons?
That is crazy.
And it's insane. I mean, yeah, you're waiting. I mean, honestly, I don't know if we're ever going to get, and I hate to say this, I don't mean it in a bad way. I don't know if we're actually going to get a Dream of Spring, honestly.
Wow, I know what you're saying.
Now, what would be great, Taylor, is that he's been doing a double whammy on us this whole time. He's got both of them damn books ready, and then we just wait, say, 6 months for the next one. You know, he puts out Winds of Winter. Oh, by the way, Dream of Spring's done.
Man.
And it comes out like June 2018.
Awesome.
You know,
that would be cool.
That would be cool. I won't hold my breath for that, though.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's I go both ways with the show. I mean, I know it's based off Ice and Fire, right? So I look forward to both, but ultimately the books are the canon.
But I feel like though most people are like you, they're equally torn. You have kind of some people who kind of seem like book snobs,
right?
And then some people who are like show only, and they it's like a little button heads between the two, but I think for the most part, this is an equal balance. People, the fans of the show are fans of the books, and vice versa.
You have to understand, it's a show. You can't add everything. It's a visual thing versus a written thing. And you have to remove things. I mean, it's just the way it is. It just is what it is. And there's going to be stuff that you don't like in the show, but the books aren't perfect either.
Right.
You know, so nobody talks about that.
No, they never talk about that.
You know,
that.
Like
You're
A Feast
right.
for Crows is one of my favorites. A lot of people hated A Feast for Crows. So, you know, there's things in the books you don't like either. Like, you want this character to end up here, but they die. Like, you know, Ned Stark, for example.
Well, and so. I also believe that you know, most people are like, man, your imagination is so much better than what they could put on film. But I'm sure some people have been quiet about it, but believe, wow, they really brought that to life.
Oh, absolutely. But absolutely.
They're just so much of a book snob or something
exactly.
that they can't admit
right.
it. You know?
I totally agree. Because you know you want to see when you... It's just like any big movie that comes out based off a book or whatever. You want to see that visualize. I mean, think about the first time you saw a comic book movie.
Yes.
You visually saw Good Spider-Man comparison. Swinging and shooting web, or even the first one was really Blade.
I know.
Blade for me was badass.
Yeah.
You know, Wesley Snipes' Blade, he was quiet. The first couple Blades were good, and they got kind of, they were all right. But, you know, once he started talking and not being that bad motherfucker that Blade is, you know, but seeing that stuff visually, you know. It's you can awesome. You can be a closet Game of Thrones fan and still be a book snob. That's
I think the biggest one for me though was seeing the Avengers assembled.
Yeah, on all screen. On screen.
Yeah, that's the little comic book nerd in me coming out. But yeah, all the outline shows and movies are really good. But when you see them all together, you've waited right. your whole life to see that.
Right.
Next question. This comes from a commenter named Sparrow Vivek.
Sparrow Vivek.
Says Q&A. Hello, Chris. I have this question. And in parentheses, it says this is third time I am asking this question.
Uh-oh. Well, Q&A. We can't get to them all.
Can't get
There's
to them
a
all.
Lot of questions.
If Bran can warg into anyone, either person or animal living, what is his range? I mean, do the person he wargs need to be standing next to him? Because in season one, we can see Bran warg into a wolf from long distance, or he can only do this long-range warging with Weirwood Tree in his vicinity,
right?
Like Charles Xavier and Cerebro.
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, I don't think he can warg into anyone. I think he can warg into Hodor, because Hodor had always been warged into.
Right.
Because of the whole time loop that's, you know, there's no entry, paradox, whatever you want to call it. But and the reason I say that is because Varamyr Sixskins couldn't even do it. And he's like one of the greatest wargs apparently to ever live. You know, he controlled five or six animals. And when he died, he tried to warg into a woman. She rejected him, basically, and he had to get out. So maybe Bran can. We just don't really know beyond Hodor. And that's kind of a no-no in the warging world, so to speak, anyway. Yeah. It's looked upon as unethical. So
definitely should be.
That's still a question whether he can actually warg another person. So I'm doubting he can. And the range thing's always been a good question. It's always been a question of mine, too, because, you know, do they have to be line of sight? You know, is it just a vicinity? And does werewood.net tie into warging and green and skin changing?
And if it does, that changes the whole game.
It changes the whole game, right? Yeah. Because, you know, you're a wolf or whatever animal. You can see through green, you know, skipping through werewood.net and find any animal within the vicinity of that particular tree
right.
that you're connected to from this tree over here 4,000 miles away. So then you basically have unlimited range based off tree growth or, you know, now that they're growing back some in the south. There are werewoods in the south, by the way. There's a few. They're not all wiped out. We just really don't know.
I like the line of sight theory. I think that should be a good range, you know. But
it seems to be that really in the books, at least. Like you know, I said before, you know, in the books, John, his last words were not Ollie. His last words were ghost.
Ghost, yeah.
And ghost was there.
Yeah.
So you know, it's not like he was off hunting somewhere and he didn't know where he was. So I think that's probably what's going down in the books as far as. You know, his consciousness, so to speak, while he's dead, his body's physically dead.
I think so, too, yeah.
So, it's probably something like that. There's no clear-cut answer.
Good question. I'm glad we finally got to it for you, brother. This next question comes from Tom Dencher. Q&A, do you think they could be blending Jon Snow and Aegon, Young Griff? Stories like they have Eldric Storm and Gendry.
Right.
As in, Aegon may be the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna, Jon possibly being the son of Ned and Ashara. Obviously, won't happen in the show as they've decided not to do Aegon's story.
Yeah, I mean, I think the show could combine Aegon in the sense of, you know, Jon being another Targaryen, if Aegon's even a Targaryen.
Yeah.
Either way, he's got Valyrian blood, Blackfyre Targaryen, whatever. But in the sense that it's almost a little obstacle for Dany. In that sense, because Aegon in the books, he's already landed in Westeros. He's at Griffin's Roost with Griff, and he's already in Westeros and decided not to go try to marry Dany and get the dragons. And he basically says, you know what, I'm going to be the king. She should come to me.
Right.
So he decides, I'm going to go on to Westeros myself. So he's already there in the books. Dany's still in Meereen. So I don't think they're going to merge much other than the fact that he's like another something in her path.
Mm-hmm.
To her throne. And as far as Aegon being the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna, I don't think so. I think it's Jon Snow. Again, thematically, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. The whole, you know, N plus A equals J thing coming back around. And,
yep.
And that leaves open the possibility that Aegon was the Tower of Joy. And it's not going to be different in the show versus the books. It's going to be the same. That's a big deal. that's the big deal. You know what I mean? So
it is the
you're right. It is the main thread of the story. So they're not going to change such a major thing, I don't think.
Okay. So. Next question, Christine Perea says Q&A. When it comes to the exchange look between Bloodraven and the Night King, and them having met before,
yeah,
the anger that blazes from the Night King's eyes is one not only of anger, but also of knowledge of something that has happened before this time frame. You've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Could Bloodraven have warred into the past himself and found out why the Night King, the Night's King, was chosen to be the weapon in the first place? I am curious as to what event led to the King's making. Did he just trespass, violate a treaty? Why this particular person? Is it possible that Bloodraven possessed the ability to heal the king and refused? There is a history between these two characters that would make a great theoretical video, especially considering all the happenings between the Blackfyres and Targaryens. Great question, and this seems like food for thought for you
videos. That is a good, good question. I do think Bloodraven knows the past. I think I don't think he has control over it necessarily, though. I don't think, you know, I think he saw this happen. We saw on the show the Night King being created, and you know, he could have just told Bran this stuff and whatever, but he's, they're letting us see this visually, and he wants Bran to learn himself and understand what's going on. So I think the secret is that he's a Stark.
Okay,
I think that is the secret that Bloodraven knows. You know what I mean?
And what do you think about, was the guy just a trespasser? Why him? Why?
Yeah, I think because, you know, there's a lot of theories that he could be the original Brandon the Builder, you know, and but I do think it's because whether he's a specific Stark or not, like Brandon the Builder or Brandon the Breaker or whatever, I think that that is the reason they chose him, because he is a Stark. He has that First Men blood, which is, you know, ties back into the children, you know, as far as their intermingling in the old days before before House Stark was actually founded. So I think it, the reason he was chosen specifically was because his, he was a proto-Stark.
I do like that when you start thinking about these time traveling things, when it's like, could Bloodraven have warred into the past himself and found out why the Night King was chosen?
I'm sure he has. I'm surely he ran around like Bran did in season 6 himself when he gained those abilities.
Yeah,
and saw things.
Do you think someone was leading him around and giving him a tour like Bloodraven?
I think there was a green seer before him that taught him, and he replaced them and so forth. I think there was one every couple generations or whatever, because you know he's like 130-ish or 120 something in the books, well beyond his mortal lifespan. The trees basically keeping him alive, so, which tells you that Bran won't be that old because he's not in a tree. Unless the books could go differently with that. But
when people ask you what spinoffs you'd like to see, would you like to see a young Bloodraven?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Spin-off? That would be great. That's where the Duncan Egg stuff comes in. It's this young Bloodraven, you know, Lord Bloodraven then, and his Hand of the King. That would be outstanding to see. Brendan Rivers, Sierra Seastar, and all these characters, you know, actually alive, normal, young, you know, in the regular world, but yet he's got a little tie of magic, but he don't quite understand all everything quite yet until he goes to the wall and ends up finding the children at some point. So that would be a great story in and of itself, just to see how Brendan Rivers ends up the Three-Eyed Raven.
Golly,
I mean, that right there, is there's so many stories would be awesome to see.
Hell yeah. Next question from Imp's Delight.
Imp's Delight.
I feel like
we're going to see that scene.
I know.
We're going to see Tyrion and his friends sipping on Imp's Delight.
Now I hope so, man. I want him to make it to the end and just be kicked back.
We're going to see it.
It says, Imp's Delight says, Q&A, do you think that the voice Varys hears in the flames can be one of the most important parts in the endgame or something? Maybe the voice was a prophecy of something that's going to happen, but Varys didn't want to believe it, and that's why he doesn't tell anyone until he has to, and then he'll maybe tell it to Dany, Jon, or Tyrion or someone.
Yeah, it could be, and I think the voice goes back to the old gods, you know, which we now know, in my opinion, is basically Bloodraven.
Bloodraven, the three,
and now Bran in the show, at least.
Yep.
So I think that's the voice, and now, of course, Kinvara thinks it was, you know, the R'hllor.
Mm-hmm.
Melisandre would think it's R'hllor. Anybody that follows that religion would think it's R'hllor, the Red God.
Absolutely.
I think it's the same source, the mastermind, the chess master here in Blood Raven. So
I agree totally. I think he has been pulling strings.
Yeah, I mean, he needs dragons. He needs Danny to come. And if it wasn't for Varys going through all that and becoming to King's Landing, ended up in the court and becoming powerful with his spy network and all that, Danny would have never come over to Westeros to help save the world. That's why I think Bloodraven's overall a good guy versus this, you know, trickster that's trying to get revenge on the realm.
Right, which somebody asked.
Right, we talked about last week.
Right.
Right. So thank you to the following patrons on Patreon. Thank you to Ashley Shaw, Hubert Ulber, The Needle, Cat, Elizabeth Hamilton, Lydia Quinn, Shishi, Luke Drysdale, Bill, Jennifer, Maria Starr, Edith Sanchez, Amanda Carlander, Linus Bourne, Aaron Hickey, Steiner V, Christoph Schanz, Dennis Corona, Tim Shields, Lily, Richard Martin, Stephen Robinson, Crawdad CT, Shahad Fonville, Barbara Chetty, Hairless Oyster, Sean Shiflett, MPC, Alexis Bell, Kelsha Breton, Carol Funk, Ali C, Claire McCann, Lady Lazara, Kinksane, Kimberly Genova, Killer Frost 419, Avec Raleigh, Persephone Jones, Jamal, Ninky, Dale Cooper, Michelle, The Senate, Kat S, Joanne Long, Betsy Leese, Kimberly Sherman, Jenny Upcott, Marilyn Benitez, Carrie Nevis, Garrett Carlson, Taylor, Louis Tolino, Kate, Joe Gaylord, Jesse C, Steve McKenna, Tamika, Lawrence Frosnick, Zombie Hoax, Darren Rezinger, Anisha Smith, Stacy Fournay, Ricky, James Grenshaw, Nizar Rajay, Hetty Hopp, Mai, Pri Figuerdo, Catherine Bassett, Demetrius, Gazka, Andrew Smith, Richard Clark, Heath Hinton, Jason Targaryen, Caleb Flubb, Robert Thatcher, Lauren Wagstaff, Vasily Crisan, Red River Giant, Ashley Smith, Mama QB, Andrew Sanders, Andreas Oss, Nicole Cron, Annie Smith, Lo Horton, Peach, Lori Perry, Jessica McWhorter, Sarah Pierce, Lauren Young, K Souza 1024, John Carey, Lala Gig, Mark Joseph, aka The Snow in Winterfell, Sean Hayes, Joanna, Carey, Kisa Powell, Marilyn Bentley, Vol Guy 10, and Hoss Griffin. Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate the support. You have no idea how much it helps because YouTube doesn't pay well. And AdSense has actually gotten a lot worse.
It has.
So anyway, I really appreciate the support. And to all you guys out there in YouTube land, I really appreciate it as well. Be sure to subscribe to Get Everything. And be sure to click that notification bell so you're notified when I drop a new video. So thanks for watching, you guys. And we'll see you. The fellas out there making that dollar. I pulled up in my 6'4 Impala. They greet me with a 40 and I start drinking. And from the 8-ball, my breath starts stinking. Left to get my girl to rock that body. Before I left, I hit the Bacardi.